Hello and welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is our fifth episode for the episode League of Assassins. I don't know why
I know, looked at it. I know, you didn't mean to look.
Of course it's League of Assassins. The episode titles this season, very like just matter of fact.
Yeah.
Like, this is what's happening. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
Holy smokes. I didn't watch this episode on Wednesday night because we're recording this on a Saturday, which is not our usual method, just to pull back the curtain a little bit, because I had an improv show to go to and then stuff on Thursday night and Friday and everything. So I didn't get to watch this until last night.
Yeah, me too, actually. I had stuff in, so...
And everybody was freaking out about it online, and it was so hard. I had to stay away from the group, had to not read emails. Yeah. I had three emails sitting in the inbox, just, like, waiting to be... I was like, I can't read them yet. But I just... Some people were good enough to just post very general
things about, thank you, like, really appreciate that.
Awesome episode, oh my god, so good, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yes, I agree. Like, this is one of the best episodes of the series. Stephen Amell has said that this is his favorite episode so far of the series. And for obvious reasons, there's some incredible stuff in this. First of all, League of Assassins, we have a bunch of ninja dudes running around fighting Oliver and Sarah. Some awesome fight sequences. Which, watching this episode, I realized just how different from Smallville this show is. Because when you think of the fight sequences on Smallville, it was like three punches, and then somebody would throw a smoke bomb or run away, or Clark would use heat vision and it would be over, right?
Yeah.
Like they were very like one and done sort of situations. But with this, it's like there were like three fight sequences in this episode that all had very cool
intense choreography and
And they went on for a substantial amount of time, especially when you have them on two levels
two different
fights
great.
At the same time. It's like, this is the sort of stuff that you see in movies, not on a TV show. There's no other TV show doing this kind of choreography for this much time at this skill level. I think it's incredible. Like this episode was amazing, and then the story side of it was also ridiculous and just like a total turning point for the series. So I really enjoyed it.
I like coming here and talking to you about stuff, because I look, when I'm not here watching the episode, I view it differently. I don't know, because this is very cinematic, and I think it does require a lot of attention, and I happened to be watching it while I was like making food and eating it, and it was just a different viewing experience. And I was like, oh, there's a lot of fights, and then but like now in hindsight, I'm like, oh, there was a lot of fights.
Yeah,
and they were pretty good. And I guess it's because it was a very Sarah-centric episode, and I think I had a... I guess maybe I'm curious as to what they're doing, their through line with Black Canary, and we only really met her last episode.
Yeah.
So I guess I was kind of wondering what my investment was going to be, or I'm always testing the show to see where it's going to take me, or if it's going to, like, take me in a certain direction. So I always think I'm overly critical of the show when I watch it by myself, because I'm like, okay, prove to me what it is you're doing and why I care, and then I will watch and be excited about it. So, but I don't know. So I do like coming and watching it afterwards, and then in hindsight going, oh, actually, that was really awesome. And when you're talking, right, the idea that the flashbacks on the island... not about Oliver.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, I'm like, why aren't they flashing back to Oliver on the island? So I guess it's like,
It's really cool how they did it, too, because last week, if I recall correctly, the last flashback of the episode
was
Sarah's flashback, and then the last flashback of this episode was Oliver's flashback. So they, like, they switched it.
Which is cool, yeah.
But then, like...
And so we're caught up in the same...
But they switched it between episodes, so it's almost like you just watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Together, and it just sort of flows.
I'm really looking forward to whoever it is in the next 5 years that cuts together all of the island stuff, so we can just watch that as one big narrative, which would be really awesome.
Yeah, that just does it so that it'll just be a 10-season show of half an hour episode.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm looking
one to five on the island.
Not
on the island, because Oliver at the end of this episode says to dig.
Yeah, that he wasn't.
I didn't
on the
spend
island.
The whole 5 years on the island,
which is interesting.
Let me tell you some
stories.
I guess
this was another thing where I was kind of like, at the end, I'm like, Well, the doy. I guess, like, that's, like, my thing going, like, obviously you didn't spend 5 years in the island. I thought we all knew this, but...
We knew that. We,
yeah. But Deagle didn't, dump, I guess, right? Yeah. So it's good. I'm glad. This is why you should never watch the show just once. You yeah. should always watch it and then listen to us talk about it, because then you'll realize how much you actually love the show and that it is the best show on television, as many people posted on our yeah. Facebook wall. Lots of different articles coming out. And, Arrow nominated for some People's Choice Awards, so go vote for those, which is exciting, because, yeah. you know, we want to keep the love coming. Very excited. I keep converting friends. I get Facebook messages from friends that I'll meet at random events talking to them about Arrow, and then they'll message me going, so I started marathoning this Arrow yeah. show, and it's actually pretty good. I'm like, yes, it is. Ha ha ha.
I know that season two has definitely turned a lot of people on to the mm-hmm. show. Mm-hmm. I know that Derek from Starkville House of L, he talked about it on the last episode of Geek Out Loud. They are friends of the podcast. Derek was talking about, and he was a hardcore fan of Smallville. One of the reasons why I started podcasting was because I listened to him podcast about Smallville. Mm-hmm. And season one, he was kind of iffy on. He didn't like the fact that Oliver was killing all the time. He right. didn't like the sort of the direct correlations to the Dark Knight trilogy, to Nolan's Batman, and that universe, sort of the way that it followed a lot of that mm-hmm. similar stuff, in tone especially. He wasn't a big fan of that. He wanted to see something a little bit different. And then with the beginning of this season, he's been completely converted, and with the changes that they've made, it's now one of his favorite shows. Nice. So I like that the show... which I think had an amazing first season. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Incredible what they managed to do. When you look back on it, you go, holy smokes, I can't believe they fit all of that into 23 yeah. episodes. It's like, especially in episodes like this, where we're dealing with sort of pulling stuff in from the mm-hmm, past and, mm-hmm. and weaving stuff back together. It feels in the second season like it's a show with a few seasons under its belt, with the yeah. way that they've laid the groundwork for this yeah. story. And they continue to every episode. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons why it's like that is because they're also working off of mythology that we don't know about.
Yeah.
So there are, like, I said this constantly last season, and I haven't said it that much this season, but we're dealing with a show... in this instance, in its seventh season,
yeah,
dealing yeah. with a history of five seasons, now yeah. six seasons before it, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this idea that although we don't have all of the information yet, the writers certainly do. Mm-hmm. If at least the showrunners,
yeah, know where it's coming from.
Like when they say, throw yeah. this plot point in here,
yes,
throw this bottle of vodka in here.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And I think that's going to come up next week. I think that with the yeah. preview we've seen, they're going to Russia. I think that was a nod to what's coming in the next
yeah.
story.
Yeah.
But they know that these things are coming.
Yeah.
They know what this overall story yeah. is, where Oliver was for that 5 years, and based on where he was, they keep peppering in all of these things that are references to past... Yeah. occurrences, past events that haven't happened yet yeah. for us, right? It's
such an incredible way, right? Great. Yeah. yeah, is the ability to have that foresight and then not yeah. things not come out of nowhere. Even if yeah. they sort of do on the show, yeah. you're like, no, they've thought about that for a while, and it's
incredible because yeah, you're right. They still manage to surprise us with mm-hmm. things. I mean, well, in some instances, by kind of rewriting history.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess. That was something I also had to come to grips with, because it was something that really bothered me, is the idea that they rewrote a lot of Sarah's history. But I'm coming to grips with it in the fact that, like, okay, no, they still had forethought to think about what happened a little bit, and they just made her a little bit more of a character, yeah. and I'm going to be okay with that, right?
Based on what happened at the end of this episode,
yeah.
I feel like they just took Shadow's storyline mm-hmm. and they flipped it with Sarah. And they've removed Shadow, however they've done that, because we haven't really gotten
Did you see Ollie's reaction, though, when she mentioned Shadow? Like, that's the first time that that's happened, yeah. where we see present Ollie, because he's never mentioned her, right?
No.
Right? So that is the first indication that we yeah. have that there is, like, a lot more coming, which is
yeah.
interesting, so...
Yeah, but I think just writing wise, I think they knew where they were going, but they just took Shadow's character and replaced it with Sarah's character so that they could have this Black Canary stuff in there. But we might be wrong. Maybe this was the plan from the beginning, and maybe last year's episode was just a red herring to throw us off.
Right.
We did have one email. I won't read the whole email, but the gist of it was the correlation between Sarah's hat last week,
the
Starling City Rockets hat.
Yeah,
it was the same hat from that photograph from last season's episode.
That. Yeah,
which we had talked about the hat, and I had referenced that it is the Starling City Rockets, but I didn't put it together with
that until you mentioned episode. That. So that's awesome.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know how much of this was planned from the get go, and how much of it is them sort of rolling with it or changing things, adding in new heroes, because they're moving in this other direction, right?
Which is what's making me realize that I'm okay with that, right? I have a lot of problems with people that try to... it's one of my issues with time travel. I don't know if you talked to me about time... But this idea that, like, if you know where you've been, you can know where you're going. Or if you know where you're going, you then need to know where you've been so that you can make the two things work. And I think the writers more or less are able to walk this really interesting line where they do have their own particular vision. They know where they're coming from. And they're able to more or less seamlessly integrate new things as they need to come up, right? So if things are being presented. I'm very excited we got our new Big Bad this episode for our island stuff. So setting up a lot of important things, which again, if we had then gone through and looked at all of the past things that came up, it's like, obviously this is the direction we're going.
Well, Dr. Ivo showing up is not a huge surprise because the ship says Amazo on it. I can't remember the name of the company, but there's a company on the back of the ship. That all ties to Dr. Ivo, who is the mad scientist who created Amazo, who is a super villain who has the ability to adapt to superheroes' like powers. So there's a Justice League Unlimited episode where maybe it's just the regular Justice League series where Amazo shows up and he is able to essentially mimic the abilities of the Justice League. And so he becomes, every time he fights another hero, he becomes more powerful. Sure. So I'm interested to see where that's going to go with this.
Yeah.
I think that, obviously, the deformed skulls, like those deformed bodies, have something to do with that.
Yeah.
Something to do with superheroes, something to do with superpowers.
Yeah.
Obviously, all those people that he's got in the cages, he says it. It's part of his experiments and stuff. Part of his work and research.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I want to know to what extent they tested on Ollie. I'm curious to see if that becomes
if
a thing.
If he's got any
if that becomes a thing, yeah.
Yeah, I
don't know. I hadn't thought about that until right now when we were just talking about prisoners. And anyways, let's
we'll see. But let's jump into our emails. So, I've got an email from Ben Kritzman. It's a very quick email. The subject, did he just ... and he says, okay, did Al-Awwal really just say the child of Ra's al Ghul? Could we be getting Talia al Ghul too? No, we're not getting Talia al Ghul. We already know this. It's been confirmed by Mark Guggenheim in a couple of articles.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be getting Talia's sister.
Yeah.
She's a character that doesn't exist in the comics as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's interesting stuff. It's interesting stuff.
Nice fine line there.
But we've been hearing rumors about Talia and Ra's al Ghul, and I don't think Ra's al Ghul will ever show up because Ra's al Ghul is Batman's villain.
Yeah.
Talia is part of that story.
So that's why I'm getting those
points. But they're going to create a character just like they've created a sister for Laurel.
They need to create new characters because I don't want Batman's rejects on this show. I want, like, our own things.
And leave those things for Batman.
Yeah.
For that series. For those movies and whatever happens with the Batman character.
Yeah.
Down the road.
But this is interesting and tying in things. So that's exciting. And I think I'll be okay with it. I'll see how it works out, right? Diggle's still sticking around, so that's a right character. who more and more, like, relegated to, like, this back... He's always plays this nice role of being in the background of frames, which
this,
is interesting.
This upcoming episode, next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday...
It'll be his.
Is a Diggle-centric episode. Okay. As we saw in the preview at the end of the episode this week, Deadshot's back.
So, oh!
So they're gonna...
Oh, man, see, there's another reason. I didn't watch the...
You didn't watch the next time?
I didn't watch the next time thing.
Oh,
man. Tell you. This is, I can't... I should never be allowed to watch this show by myself. I do it wrong. I don't watch it properly. Anyways, I want to read one of the Facebook posts that we have, which I just love this. This is on our on the group, the Quibi group, so if you want to join there. It's from Robert Bell, who I don't think actually has written into us or any... Anyways, so Robert Bell, nice to see you talking on the page. Mm-hmm. And this is what Robert Bell has to say. Thoughts on tonight's episode. Man, does Detective Lance have lots of chest hair. Lots of product placement tonight. And Laurel is wearing ugly pants. So...
Laurel has inherited Thea's ugly pants. Yes. As well as her storylines, apparently.
Yeah, I know, right?
Somebody's gotta fall prey to the CW drama aspect of this show. Yeah.
Well, so thank you for your comments, Robert. Yes, we agree about the pants. That's actually
and the chest hair. Yeah. There's a lot of chest hair. When Sarah reveals herself midway through the episode, and then like they have this heartwarming moment, and she puts her head against his chest, all I could think was, man, that's got to be rough. Just like rubbing right up against his chest hair. Because that is a lot. Like, it looks like he's smuggling Brillo pants. Like, holy smokes. God.
That's hilarious. Product placement, like to see that Windows Surface computer that Laurel is using.
Yes. Well, it's not a Surface, it's just Windows.
It's like the Windows, the touchy one. I don't know.
It's just a touch
screen. It's a touch screen computer. Yeah.
And the Surface was in there. And other stuff.
Like that. Oh, and then the actual product placement Minisode, which seems like it's going to be part of a series that Bose, is it?
Yeah.
That's what it is, the audio equipment stuff. Sponsoring now what looks to be a couple episodes of like mini episodes
like
that'll air.
Which
I think all commercials should now do this. Yeah. That instead of having an actual commercial, it should be like a show of some kind. Because then I would actually watch all of the commercials. Because
I know that Bose has earphones that have an aware mode, so that you can hear.
Yeah,
you can hear people walking up to you. And you don't get surprised by. It was very. It was interesting the way that they approached it.
Yeah.
That they put the product placement, the very overt, have to mention all of the features product placement in a separate thing.
Yeah.
I can remember Modern Family, which is a comedy, so they have the leeway to do this, but they had an episode last season where somebody bought a new car.
Oh, yeah.
And they were in their new car, and Phil, the dad on the show, like, they're driving around and said something about this new car, and he goes, yes, it's an amazing blah, blah, and he lists off, like, six of the features. But they did it in a way that it was really funny.
Right, yeah.
Because it's like, his character would do that, would like quote to you the brochure.
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of thing that he's done previously. But you can't do that on a dramatic show like Arrow. Even though it has comedy elements, so what do? You take character. You take your funniest character out of it, you put it in the separate thing, you give Roy some screen time this week because he wasn't in the episode. And you have this cool side story. You know what it reminds me of? And I guarantee you that this conversation has happened behind the scenes with the people who put this together. This is a deep cut for comic book fans. Hostess snack cake advertisements in comic books from back in like the 60s, 70s, and 80s, where you'd be reading your comic book and then you'd get to a page that looks like a comic page. It's a story, but right at the top it says like Hostess snack cakes, and then the little one page or sometimes two page story would be about how Lex Luthor is trying to destroy the world. And Superman shows up and he gives him a snack cake and it distracts him just long enough for him to dismantle his death ray. And they go, curses foiled again by Superman and Hostess snack cakes. And it was very similar. Like, right. this concept is very similar to, like, we're not going to interrupt the actual episode. Yeah. We have to put commercials in it anyways.
Yeah.
Why not put our characters in the commercial, yeah. right? Like, instead of
yeah.
what they could have done, which is had that be part of yeah. the episode where they walk up and Felicity's yes. got her headphones in and she goes, oh, let me just... I knew you were coming because of aware mode. Let me just turn my fancy headphones off. It's sponsored by Bose, yeah. right? Like,
the CW is doing interesting things with how yeah. they're working with advertising, because it's yeah. still, obviously, we can see still in the episodes with the yeah. Microsoft product placement and stuff, but they also do, I mean, there's all the car things that we've been seeing, yeah. and I know that there's, like, Vampire Diaries has a lot of different partnerships with certain cars, and they do.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's very, yeah. So
it's just nice to see product placement moving in that direction, where yeah. it's not as ham-fisted as it has been in yeah. the past.
Yeah.
Such as Stride Gum and
yeah. think, all that. And people small. Know this. People know this. I really yeah. like Pentatonix. I don't know if other people listen to Pentatonix. I really like them. They're like an a cappella group. But their songs all get millions of views. Yeah. And then they have one song that's like an Oreos song that's specifically sponsored by Oreos. Yeah. And it has like 80,000 views. And it's like, because people aren't stupid.
Yeah.
We know what's advertising and what's been specifically paid for and what's yeah. not. And I will forgive you if you are genuinely taking your product and trying to like make a story, not the other way around, and take yeah. your story and shove a product down its throat, right? So if you, yeah. if you, I think that they're doing a really good job with this, and I'm excited to see this little mini arc. I really like it when they can do things like this,
and how they'll fit Bose speakers into every.
I want to see how Bose speakers are going to save the day at yeah. the end, because
they are.
They are. They have to save,
just like those Hostess snack cakes yeah, are what the thing, you know they used yeah. to defeat the bad.
So we'll see. We'll see what it is. I'm kind of excited for this now secondary story plot that we have,
yeah.
completely superfluous to the actual story.
It'll be interesting to see. Just how, like, I'm wondering later on down the road if it will come up and be like, hey, you remember those that time I foiled that bank heist? Now make me Red Arrow. And it'll be like, did they just reference the Bose miniseries? Yeah, like that miniseries. But anyways, let's jump right into the episode. So I am hitting play right now. We are just on the preview here.
That says Arrow.
Previously
on, so here we go. We're starting. We haven't seen, what's her face in a while? The, river? What?
yeah, Isabel Rocha.
Right, yeah. But here we get some interesting just Ollie fighting, right? So this idea of him killing, because we brought that in this episode, right? Because this yeah. idea that Ollie now, not killing people, and it being, this transition, every time they do it is really cool. I must be something else. And then we get the previously on, so obviously we know that something with Moira and the death penalty here, which I'm interested they addressed, right? They don't just let it yeah. go. Again, they deal with stuff each episode that's directly relevant from the thing
yeah. previous. And so. I like how they're peppering this in every episode, and then it's going to come to a head later this season. Mm-hmm. I believe it's the episode right before the Christmas break that it's going to be coming to a head with the actual trial itself.
Yeah.
But as opposed to spending episodes focusing on it.
Yeah.
So
6 years earlier, which is interesting, because now we've gone a year ahead.
I love that they keep track of it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to kind of, you have to pay attention to it. It reminds
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And so on the boat here, sort of interesting talking about our roommate. I love how, like, all of the camera is shaking, and the, I don't know, there's lots of lights things, but they seem pretty steady on, like, in their sitting and in their standing. I don't know, that was the one thing in this where yeah. I was like, oh, it looks really rocky, but you're not steadying yourselves at all, but that's okay.
And they really should be more concerned with the,
there's a lot of lighting, like, a lot of thunder and lightning.
I guess she is fairly concerned, it's a pretty important
she says, did you hear that? Yeah, I guess this idea, counting the storm.
Well, she counts it, right?
Yeah. Which makes sense. This is a lovely boat. I want to go on this boat. So good.
Yeah, it's interesting to get all of this backstory now. Like, we're sort of revisiting this moment. We saw it from Oliver's perspective, but now we're sort of revisiting it and getting a little bit more detail from Sarah's perspective.
I just love it when the subtitles, like, catch the, like, rap music in the background and you, like, read the lyrics and you're like, oh, okay. So, yeah, this is, I again, having watched it on my own, didn't really clue into how much this is a Sarah's point of view episode, which is really cool, because it's still, I mean, obviously, I've seen this from Ollie's perspective, so again, in my brain, I was like, oh, I've already seen all of this, but, you know, it's that nuance of, no, you haven't seen it from Sarah's point of view.
Yeah.
And how it works. I love that they've, how many times has Ollie had to do this stunt where he had to, like, fall off that bed? He's like, no, I got it. I know how to do this.
And then this is the moment that we didn't see before, which is her going into the water and then coming back out of the water.
I'm really impressed her rope stayed on this whole time. I don't know. I feel as though it would be really constricting.
I think that that was a very nice thing that they did for the actress.
Yeah, so that she didn't have to be naked.
So she's not just in her underwear the whole time.
This, when I saw this, I was like, why is she at his house? And then they do the nice explanation where they're like,
I love that he's just watching basketball.
Yeah, he's just being Oliver Queen.
Yeah, he's just a normal dude. I guess that whatever's going on in the Glades has kind of toned itself down a little bit.
I don't know.
I guess they took out the mayor, right? He was the main cause of a lot of the problems.
And I kind of like it when they humanize Ollie a little bit, and they sort of make him a dude watching television, talking to his ex-girlfriend's sister or ex-girlfriend who's also
his ex-girlfriend's sister. You know what, this episode, I said earlier that it's a turning point, and I think one of the reasons why is because I am much less concerned with Laurel and Oliver getting back together at some point than I am with this storyline resolving itself, and like, honestly, I kind of like to see these two together.
Yeah.
When she sees the canary in her next flashback,
it
made me go, okay, you know what? Laurel isn't Black Canary.
Yeah.
Sarah is Black Canary. Yeah. This is a different universe.
Yeah.
That it means something to her. It's something that later on they talk, it has to do with her past.
Yeah.
I am okay with Laurel being a different character. Maybe Sarah is the one that we were expecting all along.
Yeah.
And Laurel is actually the additional character.
Yeah. That'd be... Ooh, I really like that when you say that, how you say that. Yeah.
Right? That she's actually the Black Canary.
Yeah. Oh, that's really... That's actually, much, much more interesting.
Especially when they do something like this with the character of Laurel.
Yes.
Now we're in the scene where it's sort of this this plea bargain moment.
It's just stupid. What? It seems stupid that Laurel would put herself in that position. Like, it just seems absurd.
As much as she's trying to help. I'm using my quote fingers here.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it works. I don't know.
Yeah, it... But it It seems ridiculous, but it is consistent with her character and her character's current mental state.
That is true, I guess.
And as we see later in this episode, yes, she's got a handle on the drinking thing, but she's exchanged it for a pill addiction, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're moving this.
Yeah.
what those pills are, we don't really know yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
This angle that they're moving her in, and in every scene she's in, she looks like she's out of her depth.
Yeah. She does. I don't know. Yeah, there's something... Her and Paul Blackthorne were having a conversation on Twitter where he was like, every time I work with you, you just get better. And I was like, really? I'm looking forward to that. Like, I don't know.
No, I do think that they're going somewhere with her character. Yeah. I trust these writers.
Yeah.
As much as it's frustrating, I said this a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be frustrated with her right now.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be upset with her. We're supposed to be feeling what Oliver and Detective Lance are feeling, which is this helplessness. Watching her spiral out of control.
Yeah.
And like I said, that look in her eyes every time she's talking to somebody, where she's lying, she's spinning out of control and she can feel it.
That's true.
Like, you look at her, like, she's acting it. She's performing that aspect of it. Yeah. So I do think that these are conscious choices. I don't think that this is a Lana Lang situation of the writers not understanding
that
people hate this character.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Like, I don't think that anybody hates Laurel right now. I think that people are just... I don't think anybody's at that point with it yet. We haven't had that long People might say that, but I think if they really look at it, they're like, oh, no, they're just really frustrated with where she's at right now.
Yeah, that's
And
true.
They want... What they want is for her to be where Sarah is.
Right.
Right? And dealing yeah. with that sort of stuff. When you contrast those two characters,
yeah.
it's very...
yeah.
It's very difficult to reconcile what's going on yeah. with Laurel, because we see, especially with these awesome flashbacks,
yeah.
that incredible CG canary that they added yeah. in there. Just looks so great.
Okay, so
the Amazo ship.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. This is, I don't know, it's impressive.
This is expensive stuff to do for a TV show. I was gonna say,
yeah.
This stuff, like, because that, setting up the mm-hmm. sort of that green screen water
yeah.
Situation, like, this is all yeah. very difficult movie type stuff that they do, and yeah. they do this on a weekly basis and with this show,
yeah,
sometimes two or three times in an episode, which yeah. is ridiculous, all for a flashback,
yeah,
for yeah. what's like what yeah. amounts to like a minute of screen
yeah.
time.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't talk about it when he was at the women's prison. I was impressed that it was all female prison guards, which is very yeah. like in line with things. But things that people don't talk about a lot, this idea that, like, whenever you see sort of minion people, they're never really women. And I kind of yeah. liked that they are, because that's exactly what happens in a women's prison. There's lots of women in prison guard. Anyways, so we're setting up why she doesn't want to talk, right? So this idea that, because in my head I was like, why don't you just go talk to your dad? That makes absolutely yeah. no sense why you don't want to talk to your dad. And then you start to get, like, this idea that she's just really ashamed of what she's done, which yeah. is interesting. And fight sequence number one.
Yeah,
I'll and I love this where he's just like Merlin, like that.
Because
like,
we know, yeah. but he doesn't know
yeah.
yet, right?
Yeah, like, which is great.
I love
yeah.
that they keep track of this stuff and yeah. that it's very intelligent and yeah. that they let us know what characters know yeah. what and yeah. where things are at. We now know confirmed 110% that Malcolm Merlin is dead.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
has had an arrow driven through his heart.
Yeah.
That was not just a shoulder right. shot like yeah. Oliver is fond of now. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was legitimately dead, which is good.
Yeah, so we've got confirmation on that for sure. And, yeah, but just to have him... Now we know what Oliver knows,
mm-hmm.
And we find out later just how much of this information Felicity and Diggle are privy to, and by the end of this episode, I feel like everybody's going to be on the same page.
Yeah, right? And I like that Ollie's brain goes, why are you dressed like Malcolm Merlin? Like, yeah. his brain is working from the point, from writing. The information yeah. he knows,
yeah.
backwards, and then he has to rewrite... what he understands.
Why
the
would
world.
Malcolm Merlin dress like this random assassin?
Yeah,
no, other way around.
Yeah, which is really, yeah. really, really interesting. And totally, like, it's just really in line with his character. And
sorry,
we're
just fast forwarding through the commercials now.
Yes. So
yeah. Yeah. No, it's awesome to have them keep track of that information mm-hmm. and not just gloss over it or mm-hmm. not address it.
Man of Steel coming to Blu-ray. Woo!
Yeah, it comes out on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're the worst superhero fan ever.
Don't keep track
of
things.
You're the worst
fan
of things.
Dude, I forgot Thor came out this week until like 2 days ago, and I was like, I need to get tickets now!
I know.
And I did. It was fine. Anyways, let's watch Black Arrow again. Oh, this moment. Favorite moment in the whole thing. Shadow was wearing it when she mentions this. Look at Ollie. Look at that. He doesn't even say anything. Like, look at that. It's just... It's like one of the most significant moments I think that we have in this whole episode is about a character that's never mentioned and or that is never seen and a thing that we have no idea what happened. Like, it was just
as far as we know, she got blown up in that.
Yeah, yeah,
right in the fuselage.
Oh,
so,
it's just
as far as so we know.
Exactly, as far as we know. Well, we'll figure it out. Anyway, so this is interesting meeting. They're meeting. Felicity and Diggle. And
yeah, she's bringing her in with yeah. the rest of the team. Yeah. So obviously cool. he trusts her.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he shouldn't because she's going to go into...
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is great. Gee, I didn't get you a bag of dirt. I just love Felicity.
I like how the episode's just kind of going on its regular path.
Yeah.
Like their yeah. regular procedural, like, yeah. I've got this bag of dirt from this guy. Analyze it. Find out what's going on. We're going to track him down. Find out why he's copycatting Malcolm Merlin. And then she goes, like, we know.
Yeah.
We're in the position. Again,
yeah.
they flip the whole episode. We're
yeah.
observing Oliver and the team
right.
from Sarah's perspective in this episode.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she goes, stop. This is what's actually
yeah.
going on. Allow
yeah.
me to illuminate
yeah.
the League of Assassins and then...
Yeah.
Diggle has his exposition of our thought.
Don't mention it's a league made up of assassins. Which I love. Sorry. But because it is. That's exactly what it is.
Well, it's also called the League of Shadows, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's why, especially in the Nolan movies, they refer to it as the League of Shadows more often. But yes, in the comics, it's been called League of Shadows, League of Assassins. Mm-hmm. But we're gonna get the references to Ra's al Ghul in this episode. There's Nanda Parbat again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's so incredible.
Awesome. Yeah.
The weaving it back to last season to Malcolm Merlyn, the fact that they had him set up this whole time.
Yeah.
To tie into all of this, and like, and now we're sitting here going, like, but how is it all connected? Like, connect everything for us.
They will, because I have faith in them as writers, and it's gonna be so good.
They're getting there.
But it's interesting here that we have this idea, this like, the importance of this situation that Ollie is recognizing, sort of really what she is, which I think is interesting and important.
Well, her confessing this story that she was sent to assassinate this guy.
Yeah.
She killed him, and he was discovered by his children the next morning.
Right? Yeah.
And she realized what she was doing, and that she could not return to her life. That she was a different person,
And we have Ollie sort of struggling again, this idea that he has these two lives that he's working with. He's got to be Oliver Queen and deal with his mom and then deal with the city and who he is. This boat is creepy. Like, every time we go back to it, I just, like, couldn't imagine being her. It would just be so scary.
Yeah, and her reactions in these situations, I think, are very real.
Yeah.
Like, she, at first she thinks that she's saved, and now she realizes that she's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we kind of go through all of this stuff, and you start to see that just like Oliver's transformation last season, she went through a similar one, but a very different one at the same time. Where like there's a lot more trauma in hers because he just thought he was alone on an island, and then discovered things.
Yeah, and something that's interesting is this idea that she's never alone, but becomes more alone, and he was alone and becomes not alone, which is sort of an interesting transition, I think, in terms of, like, being able to work with other people.
Yeah.
She was constantly surrounded by people and became very solo, and he was not, he sort of had to figure it out for himself, was abandoned, but then wound up working much better with people, which I think is an interesting, the show's so interesting. So here we go, this idea that she's going to take the plea bargain and not fight, and I actually think that it's a lot, I am really impressed with Ollie's foresight to see why she's doing this, right? I think that this is interesting. We're getting back into those double layers of, like, how each... This is something I'm missing this season that we had a lot last season, is how each storyline sort of threads into the other one or informs the other one. And this is the first one, I think, that we've had this season where he can see parallels between the primary story arc and the secondary story arc. In my, I guess not in his brain, it's things that are all related. But, like, in terms of, we see that there's sort of a parallel here in this idea of who you want to be for the people that you love or what they might be ashamed of.
Well, right? And I think he knows. He knows everything, right?
Right,
he knows that she was, like, had his father killed.
Right, yeah.
She knows how involved in all of this stuff she's been.
Yeah.
Thea doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But Oliver is already aware of it, so for him he's kind of, but she doesn't know that,
right?
It's just like, it's all these great layers of the characters. Everybody's got a different perspective, and at no point do we forget what those perspectives are, and we take time in an episode to acknowledge these things. Some fancy centrifugal analysis.
Can we just say that she just compared her gym membership to her being part of the League of Assassins because Felicity is great.
Felicity is great.
Sorry. I know I always say that every episode,
but
she
the
really
power
is.
On the top of that's not plugged into anything. But
it's wireless.
Plugged into anything, but that's okay. So she's traced it, the pesticide, to this
awesome factory.
Yeah, to this abandoned factory.
It's really useful how many abandoned factories there are in Starling City. There's lots of cool places for people to
be. I think you'd be surprised how many abandoned warehouses and factories there are in a city at any given time.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. All I can think about is what a wasted space you could be filming things in there.
Well, I think a lot of the time they're used for filming things.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Right here.
This abandoned factory.
This might not be an abandoned factory.
No. It's pretty in use.
But that sword's so cool. Such great design. It's got the... I'm pretty sure it's got the demon's head there on the...
look at that!
On the hilt.
He fully just caught an arrow.
He catches the arrow behind his head.
Yep.
Like, yep. And that's a throwback to Malcolm. And Malcolm caught the arrow when it was shot at his chest.
Yeah.
Very different when you're watching and you can see it coming and you can wait for the release and know when to grab it.
Yeah.
It's a completely other thing to just be there and to catch it from behind you. And then he says, right here, and it ties into it.
Yeah.
What hope would you have against the man who trained Malcolm Merlyn? Right.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
the levels on that that we see it before it's explained.
Yeah.
So much on this show is that great rule in filmmaking of show don't tell, but then they reinforce with great lines of dialogue.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where you don't mind that we get exposition.
Yeah.
And
good exposition, like the child of Ra's al Ghul awaits your return. And also this, the moment that he is going up the sword and pauses.
Yeah.
Because he knows it's coming, which is so great, which until the second time I watched it, didn't realize why he paused. Yeah. So
and I love that moment of them being like, well, we didn't come alone. And then him going like, of course I'm not alone either. I have other ninjas. Yeah. We are a league of assassins. Yeah. You think I'm here by myself?
This is one of the greatest shots that they've had all series.
This sequence is incredible on like literal levels this time of like this totally like vertical horizontal fight of these two situations going on at once. Yep. There's she got slashed across the back there,
right?
Which we see later has consequence.
Yeah,
which is awesome how they don't just like have these fights and then they go and then they're sewing something up or putting bandages on something
like,
she just got slashed across the back with a sword,
which is gonna
fast forward through commercials here, and when we come back she'll be like, he's sewing up her back,
which is,
and then saying like, you can't fight, like you will hurt yourself if you get involved in this fight, you which need to take some time out.
Awesome.
Obviously later she's forced into other battles, but here we are back with
him. I didn't see this, him sewing up her back. That's great.
Yeah, he sewed up the stitches, and there you see it on her back and her going like, I came to terms with pain a long time ago. And we see it, like, we got so many shots last season of Oliver's scarred, bruised, battered body, and here's the indication that Sarah
has that
went
too.
Through the exact same thing.
Yeah, which is powerful.
Which, again, show don't tell, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we already know what those scars mean. Those scars mean that her life has been difficult since that night.
Yeah.
And we can fill in the blanks, right?
Yeah.
They're going to fill in some of them for us, but...
Right.
So here we go. They Alawal threatened that he was going to go after family.
Right,
So this... this moment where Felicity is going to go talk to Detective Lance, because obviously there's a connection. They've spoken before, and Sarah has to say, don't say anything.
Which is good. I like that Felicity likes Detective Lance, or knows Detective Lance, which is good. So why are they taking her out of the cage the first time? We don't really know, right? Because then she gets stopped here.
They're going to question her, right? Because they want to find out just how much she knows about... actually, for these guys, I guess... Maybe they were...
Yeah, probably just...
Who knows what they were going to do?
Like, the thing is, maybe they were going to take her to him anyways, and then he changed his tactic with her or something?
I think there's a certain element of this that he set this up.
Yeah,
That they were coming in there to do what they were going to do, and that this was all... to his design so that he looks like the hero.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like that, that they were going to take her and then, which is interesting and good. I want to know where this is. This outside shot.
Yeah. This was a very interesting neighborhood.
I like
it's not immediately recognizable to me.
Which is good. I love it when they can do that. Kind of cute. There's not a lot of townhouses in Vancouver.
No, definitely not brownstone style townhouses.
Which is nice. So sort of this interesting perspective thing that you keep getting with this idea that he puts himself in danger all the time and he knows what it is. Yeah. But it's like, no, there's a different kind of danger. So it's interesting, and Felicity is trying her best to explain things.
Yeah.
I don't know how well she would explain this, right? I don't know. Like, I mean, I know it's kind of difficult. But
I think that you just say that, like, that Malcolm Merlyn was a part of this
organization.
They know that you had something to do with shutting down
one of the
machines.
Yeah.
And now they're here to take you out.
Yeah, that's
true. That would have been the intelligent thing to say. Yeah. But obviously, there's a little bit of a contrivance here where they have to have Sarah reveal herself.
Yeah, right? That's true.
So, although Felicity could have come up with something better, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They kind of had to work around that.
Who is on the photo on her desk? Is that her dad or is that Tommy? I'm interested. There was just a photo on her desk and
I think we've seen that she has a photo of Tommy on her desk.
Okay. It's I don't know, it's her and somebody. Anyways, I love that they always talk about her mother. That they bring up the mother a lot, right? So we recognize that she's still a character that we've seen, acknowledged, and still exists, and is not just someone totally not here, which is kind of interesting. And then we have this sort of interesting, I don't know, as much as he's sort of protecting / watching her, it's always interesting that they have moments together, which are sort of genuine.
And it's very interesting where it goes a little bit later on.
But. Yeah. Yeah.
So now Felicity reporting back that she couldn't do it. She couldn't convince him. Mm-hmm. And I really like this moment between Sarah and Diggle, where Diggle's like, I'm going with you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no.
Yeah. Which is...
I love how matter-of-fact she is. It's like, the people that I hang out with are way more hardcore than the people you hang out with. And I grant it, you are hardcore.
Like, yeah.
And his acceptance of, I am not one of these people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he knows. He knows that he's not playing in the same league as them.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ba-dum-tsh.
Ba-dum-tsh.
That was an inadvertent, not intended.
But it's,
I like the suspense of this scene.
And I love how they set it up very sort of knowingly what it is, which I kind of like. We haven't seen where he lives before, right? Have we?
No.
Yeah. I'm going to pause this. I definitely want to figure out where this is now. I kind of like it. It's a cool, creepy neighborhood. That is a lot of chest hair, man.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
And here we go. This, like, super emotional, right?
This is crazy. Yeah. Because, oh man, his performance on this is incredible, because it's that is him flashing back to being like fall over drunk after she died.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that this is not the first time that he has thought that he saw her.
Yeah.
And then it is her, and that realization, and how it just kind of he's a character with such incredible strength.
Yeah.
But he's not afraid to go to these really vulnerable places.
Yeah.
And it just makes... I think it's what makes him one of the most lovable characters. Yeah, you can see the mountain in the background. So that gives us an
unpleasant orientation. The lights are, like, really...
Yeah. Now we're into our first episode of Blood Rush.
Yeah, we're just going to watch it.
We can do a quick commentary on this.
We can. Because I kind of like it. Have Felicity and Roy met yet? Or is this their first time meeting? I don't know if they...
I think this might be the first time they since he started working as part of Team Arrow.
Yeah, which is good. Oh, there's no subtitles because it's technically a commercial, so we can't see what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Sad. Oh, well.
Well, we know.
Yeah, we do. No,
there's a bank robbery going on.
Look at that dress, though. Like,
it is quite the dress.
She wouldn't... I don't know if she would wear that on, like, Arrow, would she? I don't know.
Maybe in one of the scenes where she has to infiltrate some sort of a casino or something.
Yeah.
And an incoming call from Detective Lance.
Yeah. An
important phone.
Interesting. Thing. Are they allowed to have, like, those phones on the Bose commercial? Like, maybe I'm that's, sure like, that it's a,
whoever
stuff.
Owns Bose also owns whatever phone. That yeah, phone is.
Anyway, so interesting little minisode. Kind of like it. We're
fast
gonna get
forwarding
a,
to get back to the actual
We're
going to
get a little bit of a nice sideshow to watch. So, that could be fun. And this cool cafe that they're in.
Chinese restaurant.
Chinese restaurant. Chinese restaurant cafe. And she's speaking.
I wonder if this is a real location or if this is a set. Because we haven't been to Big Belly Burger. I don't think that we're going to go back there.
Yeah. I think they've moved on from Big Belly Burger.
Tons of construction going on down at Beresford Studio.
So they could be moving into studio?
And like I reported a couple episodes ago, I saw a... I've been seeing arrows around town, green arrows, that point to crew parking that say OQF, which could be Oliver Queen Foundation.
Interesting.
That might be.
Maybe they could start. This is great, this moment where she gets up and he gets this interest. This moment, it's the first one where he just sees and he recognizes what she is.
Yeah.
I think that's it's very interesting.
He puts it together, too. Yeah. I love that he puts it together.
Yeah.
For a moment, I thought that he was going to put together that Oliver is Green Arrow.
He is one slip up away from finding out. He's not stupid. He can't be. He's like Felicity now.
He's gonna find
Sarah,
out. He's gonna find
she's
out.
Got,
this
he
season.
He is. There's no way he's not dumb. Like this, right? You know the arrow. You were gone. You're like this is like he. I thought he figured it out.
I thought
in this
he was
moment.
Putting it together and going like all of your queen.
Yeah.
He's somehow connected. To
like
this.
He has to be, and that's the thing is that like I think that he has to know, right? But it's the past when he was sort of told that it wasn't, right? Because he was the first one to sort of figure it out, and maybe he got put, and maybe he doesn't want to because he has a different relationship now with the Green Arrow than he does with Ollie. So I think he could just be, and in this moment, obviously, just thinking about his daughter. So I'll give it to him that maybe his brain didn't go
his
past
focus
that,
is there.
Right? So, but it's interesting. He definitely is just, he's right on the cusp of finding out, so, very interesting, excuse me. Anyways, so, it's a good little moment. Again, I like that they don't sort of beat around the bush and they don't make their characters dumb, right? Like, they really know what they're doing.
Yeah. They don't just knock him out every time a hero is in the room, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a cop, so he knows about all of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
And he's a detective, so he's gonna put it together.
Yeah.
It was a difficult moment there. This
look
a
shot
nice
transition, but also I thought they were going to reveal someone maybe in the kitchen.
I thought they were going
but
to,
but instead, no. It's just a cool camera choice that they made to transition between two places. And this perfect reaction, right? Why is he locking me in this room? Which, again, great thing. It everything is on purpose. Everything happens for a reason on the show, which is great. I like this actor. I don't know who it is, but he sort of has like a really
interesting...
Do you recognize him? Yeah, I recognize him from some stuff. I can't figure... But he's like relatively well known, I think, in terms of like being on stuff. So I'm kind of excited to see what he brings to this role. I think he's gotten a certain amount of... I keep using the word gravitas today, but I don't know. It's something that makes us... And then there we have Dr. Anthony Ivo.
He is definitely evil. Right from the outset.
Oh, yeah.
And you can tell. Mm-hmm. And obviously Sarah is not in a position to recognize that right now. Mm-hmm. But he's evil. He's straight up evil. Like, we're not mincing words with this.
Yeah.
What are those people down there for? It's my work. I need them. I'm going to save the human race, Sarah. What?
Yeah.
What is he up to?
Yeah.
Obviously it's bad. Mm-hmm. He's a bad guy. Look at him. He's bad. Like, if there's anybody out there questioning this guy's motives, we know he's a bad guy from the comics, but he is a straight up bad guy. He is evil.
Yeah. Look at the color differences between these two spaces, right? Again, that they really are hitting on. And here we have, Ollie walking Laurel home. From wherever they are, and
He stops her. He doesn't let her kiss him. Yeah. And then go like,
yeah.
This show's so great.
Yeah.
This show is definitely the best show CW has ever done.
Yeah.
And it is definitely one of the top five shows on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it has moments like that that are better than anything else on television. Yeah. Because that was a CW moment that they stopped just short of. And his character went, no, I'm not going down this road with you again.
Yeah.
I am here because I'm concerned about you.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you're safe. Yeah. It's not romantic.
Yeah.
Stop it. Yeah. Right? And I think that might also be a heads up to the viewers of like, leave it alone.
Yeah,
it'll, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's not going to happen right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're doing other things.
Yes.
Other stuff is going on.
It's more important. And this isn't a show about the romances and the drama.
No.
It's actually like in spite of the show. In spite of that, that's why I'm watching, right? In spite of the like, here's this character named Laurel that needs help. And look,
the
I thought I locked that. I would say, no, I know that I shut my door when I left. Like, anyways, I always love that she's in apartment 305 because I live in an apartment 305. I'm basically Laurel, pretty much. I don't quite get this, though. Like, why did the assassin just leave a knife at her apartment? I don't really get that. Just like as a calling card.
He's sending a message.
Just that he was there.
She's sending a message.
Okay.
Like, nobody is safe.
Okay. Yeah. I guess so. I don't know. I thought it was odd that he just like left her in this apartment that obviously someone had broken into. But
I think because the knife was there, I think
right.
that he sees that and he goes, "Okay, we get it.
Right?
Like you're going to force a confrontation here.
Right?
Obviously, nobody is safe.
Yeah.
But this is the most interesting part of this episode, in my opinion.
The pills.
Yeah. I want to know what she's taking. What's going on there?
And you don't really talk about it, right? You just
sort
of go away from it, right? Oh, both Felicity and Laurel are wearing a navy blue today. Interesting. Interesting colors.
They're big on primary colors on this show.
Yeah.
On the costume design.
But like darker primary colors,
yeah.
which I really like.
For sure.
It's not Smallville.
I think it's just because like they want certain characters to pop in certain scenes.
Like a bird on a wire, it's sort of interesting.
Well, and the canary and roosting in this in the watchtower
tower. And there's a canary when she was 10, so there's more canary stuff. It's sort of interesting. We're setting this up, right?
This episode, just watching it, going through the whole thing, I like it. Just by the end of it, I had this thing that I had to come to terms with. Like, she's the Black Canary.
Yeah.
We're not waiting for her to die
and
Laurel to become the Black Canary.
Yeah.
She's the Black Canary. If they change that up later on down the road, they change it up later on down the road. But I really don't care. They don't have to.
Yeah.
For me, like, I am quite happy with this story the way that they've done it.
Where did she pull that from? What? What? I just saw
she's
this.
She's just that
she
awesome.
Just
has
a giant stick in, like, that was pretty epic.
Go to commercial break. Those are the best commercial breaks, in my opinion, of like, and then the bad guys show up, but the good guys have a gun and a big stick. What's gonna happen?
Oh, so good.
Stay tuned after we try and sell you a trip to Disneyland and a Ford Fiesta.
I wanna go to
you don't have to sell me those things. I already want to go to Disneyland, and I will drive a Ford Fiesta there if I have one.
Yeah.
Ford Fiesta looks like a great car.
All cars look like the same to me, so I have no opinion on which kind of car I'd like to drive.
That's why they're here to tell you which one to get.
They are, I guess. Maybe the commercials are for me. Ooh, I need to start watching Vampire Diaries again. It's not on my TiVo, so I haven't been watching it.
I really don't think you need to.
Fair enough. That clock, I don't think exists in Vancouver, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
None of those large establishments.
I know.
Shots are Vancouver,
which is,
so.
I want to know where it is. Associates of your daughter. I kind of like that. Worst taste in friends. Like, I like he can be kind of quippy with these big bad guys. That be like, he's like, I'm going to be
it's
all
It's still a comic
you.
Book.
Yeah, it's good.
It never stops being a comic book. I love that she did this on purpose.
Yeah.
She went here with him
to
draw them out because she knows that...
She's kind of interesting that she's using her dad as bait, which...
Yeah.
is...
You should be mindful of your surroundings. I love that. Because, like, that's the sort of thing that Ra's al Ghul would say to Batman.
Right, yeah.
So, like, we're getting the lineage here
of
these characters and their connections, right?
I don't know why he would take the time to take off his hood.
Because he's going to kill them.
But if you're going to wear the hood, wear the hood. And if you're not going to wear it, don't wear it. And here comes Ollie.
What? I love it. We got the awesome action sequence earlier. This is a wicked action sequence. We got the stuff on the water stuff.
Yep.
It's very expensive. And like I said, they'll do multiple big movie things in one episode on this show. Having him burst through that window on a zip line.
Yep.
Not a small stunt. Like that takes a lot of preparation. Yep. A lot. Like they're going to have to switch out that window again. Just the production value on this show is incredible.
It really is. And here she just totally, like, kills this guy in front of her dad.
Yeah.
Right? All of her voice disguised is how that is read in the subtitles.
And I like that they Detective Lance killed a guy. He shot a guy.
Yeah.
He shot and killed a guy.
Yeah.
But then watching her kill a guy with her bare hands.
Yep.
Very different.
Very different. Well, I love that she knew that she could trust him to hold his own.
Yeah.
In that situation, right? Just that she was okay with him being who he is. And this nice moment here where he, like, this forgiveness sort of thing, right? That she's been sort of waiting for, and this is what she wants, and she says that she's not, so it's not just about the forgiveness, right? It's this idea of protecting her family, right? Which is at its core what it always was, right? Protecting them from, like, knowing the truth about her. And anyways, kind of sucks that now Detective Lance has
I love how she says to him, like, you can know the reason why I came to you is because you understand how dangerous this world is. Yeah. You've seen it firsthand. You just shot and killed a guy. I know you understand this.
Yeah.
But Laurel and Dinah don't.
Yeah.
They don't get it. They will come after me. You can't let them know because they won't stop looking and they'll get themselves killed.
Yeah.
Which is another one of those things that makes me go, Laurel Lance is not Black Canary.
Yeah. No,
she's not. She's not the same character. Yeah. And watching her transform into that character might be something that happens, but it doesn't need to. She can be a different character.
She can be, and I think it works better if they don't try to force it
into
something that it's not, right?
Well, because we got that. We got that on Smallville with Lana, which she eventually became some sort of a superhero.
Yeah, and you're like...
And it was just, it felt so contrived and silly.
Yeah.
Whereas with this,
and I get why they did it, because in the first season, you're like, well, we want to have Black Canary, but we don't. And now it's like, well, now we don't need to have it as Laurel, right? So this idea that, like, the reason that you use Laurel is because you're like, everybody knows that it's Laurel, and maybe she's going to become Black Canary, and let's make her have karate lessons.
Yeah.
But now it's okay that we don't, and it's okay that Laurel's a different character, and it's okay that Thea's a different character. It's really okay that Thea is not Speedy. Like, it's really okay that they're not who they originally...
And we're good because we've got Oliver, we've got Sarah, we've got Diggle, we've got Felicity, and we've got Roy. We have enough heroes on the show.
Yep, we don't need
And Detective Lance.
Yeah, who's a really awesome superhero, I think.
Yeah.
So, anyways, here we have this... I guess this is the third scene that we've had with the three of them, right?
I guess we did spend a substantial amount of time dealing with this story.
We did,
But I do like how he says, I watched somebody try and keep secrets and how it's keeping their family apart.
Yeah.
Let's not do that.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much Oliver has talked to Thea and said, you need to be prepared to learn some really bad stuff about our mom.
I would say Thea's growing a bit stronger. I'm actually more impressed, and I have her ability to, like, to deal with some things. When she becomes a supporting character trying to not have her own storyline but to support others, she's much more of a likable character.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing that they grew this season to make me really appreciate her as a character, when they recognize what kind of a role she can play really well, right? They're no longer trying to make her Speedy, which really makes me happy, right? Like, as much as they, like, in the first season didn't really try to make her Speedy, they also did kind of be like, let's see what kind of storyline she can take on her own. And it's like, no, people weren't as invested. And look at Laurel's pants.
Yeah, she's inherited Thea's pants and her...
But, like, pants, they're worse than Thea's pants.
Yeah.
These pants were... These are, like, odd pants.
The pleated...
I don't know.
They're like high waisted, but yeah, they have like a short leg on. Yeah, them, like not quite a cropped leg. But
yeah,
almost.
But almost. Yeah, and it might have to do with the shoes. I don't know. Anyways,
very interesting fashion choice.
So I kind of like that he just came to be like, I love you, and I can't talk about things, but
she can go, okay, I get it. I've been having issues.
Yeah.
Maybe something happened at work because you're a cop, so something happened, close call, something. You don't want to talk about it.
Right.
We don't have to talk about it.
Right.
But her going, like, I like this. She finally says, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like how quickly they move through stories on this.
Yeah.
She had a drinking problem last episode. She got through that. Now she's got a drug problem.
Yeah.
She's still not talking about that, but she is acknowledging that something's wrong.
Yeah.
She's not just going, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Yeah. It's been three episodes of her going, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. And now in this episode, her going,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm okay.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I really love how they move between scenes. So great.
I love this scene. I love what they're doing here with Oliver and Dig.
Yeah.
And him, I love just, he opens up his chest full of...
He treats it with a lot of respect, too. That's the thing that really, like, he doesn't just, like, open it. He, like, puts it down and we get the vodka. Right? And I want to make, I want the moment where he says, you'll know when it's the right time to drink this, which is just interesting and exciting. So, a lot of vodka.
Well, I think that they've had a rough week.
Yeah.
But I like that Oliver says in this moment, like, there's a lot of stuff I haven't told you.
Yeah.
It's time for me to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, it's time for you to know.
Yeah.
This is leading right into next week when I think that a lot of this stuff's going to come out and it's going to affect the story.
Yeah.
So, it's so organic the way that they do it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this one of the best written shows is that foresight.
Yeah.
It's foresight and hindsight, and it's equal parts. And I think that that's what makes it so great, is that they knew well enough back in the day when they were sitting down to write this show, to break the show.
Yeah.
What do we need to establish? And now they know, at this point, what do we dig back into and pull forward for this episode?
And now we're caught up on the island to where we were last week, right?
Yeah.
So this is that beat. Very interesting. And you get that same chair that's very distinguished.
Those boots.
Yeah.
And we slowly reveal what we already know. But
which is, but in, from a different perspective
she's
now.
It's different because
she's obviously,
it's been a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's been a year since she's been pulled onto this boat, which is what we have to remember.
Yeah.
Is that she's become
somebody else. Yeah, she was on the boat.
I love the costume design on this show because I love the aspect that we have superhero costumes, which are obviously very over-the-top costume design, get to let loose. We talked to Andy last week all about that. But then on the shorter, sort of like on the more realistic side of it, they dressed her in a way to signify that her character has gone through an evolution.
Yeah.
Those combat boots, the open combat boots, which I really love that touch because it just gives her this really cool silhouette of that on the leg. Really cool. And then she's got the combat knife, the tank top. She looks like she could beat the snot out of anybody. Like she's become a hardcore fighter.
Yeah.
And so is Oliver, but in very different ways, like very different circumstances.
Yeah. And again, this idea that like she was with people constantly the whole time, trained, right? But she's become very solo.
Yeah.
Whereas he was on his own and found ways to work in a team, which I just think that I hadn't thought about until we started talking about this episode. This happened to me all the time last year, where I would come to like really interesting conclusions while we were talking about the episodes. And that was one of my favorites. Are we going to watch the previous?
Yeah, so now we're going to watch the next time. And so we've got, it's something to do with Diggle's past.
Yeah.
And we're going to head to Russia.
And we also have Russia. Interesting.
Head to Russia, and Oliver's going to use his connections.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that was Isabel in
that bed. Yeah,
that
was Isabel in that bed.
And Oliver smiling. So we're just going to zip back a little bit.
We're just going to see what that was. I have to brush up on my Russian for next week. Very exciting. I'm excited.
So yeah, we've got... Yeah, that's totally
her.
That's
her.
Absolutely
that's
her.
But
and then Deadshot right there.
Yeah.
But they're both... they're both captured in that scene. I think that's what's really interesting is that they're both chained up.
Yeah.
And Deadshot is going to be another loose thread. I'm predicting right now, there's no finality in that storyline. There might be, Dig might get to take out some of his aggression and frustration, but we're definitely going to be left with Deadshot running away yet again.
Interesting. Is the last time that they dealt with Deadshot, was that when they also dealt with Russia? Because they dealt with the, I don't know, I forget what it was that he had to go to the Russian gang last time. Do you remember what it was for? I completely forget what it was for. But I know.
No, because the last time we dealt with Deadshot was with the army stuff. Was with Dig using his
army connections, yeah.
His military connections to, and he was working with them.
Right.
To try and take down Deadshot.
Right, oh yeah, and there was that big.
But he was reckless. He was kind of a loose cannon, so.
Interesting, so we'll get some. I'm kind of glad they're bringing some more Diggle-centric
stuff. I think it's due time for us to go back and give him some
and remind us why Diggle is around and like a main character, which is good because I mean we've got Sarah no longer around.
Sarah's left, which is a really interesting development in the show.
Yeah, because we thought that like Canary was coming and staying, right? Yeah. That like we were now getting Black Canary, but it's like no, we were just establishing that she's around and part of this much bigger. Right, the payoff for that is when she comes back to fight the League of Shadows at the end with the Flash. Like, I don't know, like, that's the payoff when you're like,
and
look at all these people.
I'm gonna go right out there and say this. Possibly Nightwing. Because we got, there's rumors swirling all over the internet yesterday and today that Nightwing has been cast for Man of Steel 2. So, if Nightwing might be in the movie he might be in Man of Steel 2. Stephen Amell also posted something on his Facebook page that was a picture of... It was two advertisements for upcoming issues of Justice League of America.
Mm-hmm.
One that was just like this random issue. And then the other one being the Green Arrow's first appearance as a member of the Justice League. His induction into the Justice League of America. Which is a very interesting thing for him to be posting on Facebook with all of the rumors and the stuff that's been swirling around. So,
yeah, someone posted that on our Facebook page, too.
Whether or not that is him trying to hint at something that's going on behind the scenes, or whether or not that's him campaigning for something
something's happened.
I think that if it's true, if both of those stories bear some sort of truth, that Green Arrow is going to be connected in some way to the Justice League in these coming Man of Steel, Batman, Justice League films, and that Nightwing is being hinted at, I think we are fully capable of having Nightwing show up on Arrow to deal with Ra's al Ghul and the League of Shadows.
Nice.
I think that would actually be a very logical thing for them to do if they wanted to say, we're going to tie all of this
world
right together. Like, neat, tidy bow.
Mm-hmm.
Introduce the Flash.
God, it would be so pilot, great if
Nightwing shows
this.
Up. And then we have, in a season finale, we've got Green Arrow, Nightwing, Black Canary, and the Flash all side by side fighting against the League of Shadows. With Deadshot and China White and who knows who else.
Dr. Ivo.
Amazo maybe showing up, right?
Oh.
Like whatever Amazo thing.
There's so much potential. The comic books could just rule the world right now, and they just need to do it right. And the thing is, anybody who knows anything about anything can watch Stephen Amell and realize that he has the capacity to be what you let him be. And that's the thing that I just love in, like, he is a great promoter of the things that he is doing.
Yeah.
He is invested in the things he's doing, and he gives it his all. And I just absolutely... there's no way that you could... I know that television and movies are different mediums, but there's no way that you can doubt his ability and the people, like, around him to be like, no, there's like substance there, right? I said this last season.
He matches the people that he's in the scene with. So when he's in a scene with Thea, sometimes it's a little, the two of them are sometimes a little bit rocky.
Yeah.
But when he is in a scene with Detective Lance, they're some of the best scenes in the series, right? I really agree with you. I think Stephen Amell is an actor who he rises to the level of the people surrounding him. And I think if you put Stephen Amell in a room with Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck, he's not going to dwarf them. No. I don't know that he's even going to be able to match them. Because but we're talking about, like, Henry Cavill owned all but 2.5 hours
stand,
of that
movie. He could stand in but the same room with them.
At the level that Green Arrow is meant to stand beside Batman and Superman. I think there's also an important aspect of that, that you don't want a Green Arrow that's going to overshadow Superman and Batman. You need to have a Green Lantern who can stand next to those characters. You need to have a Wonder Woman who can stand next to those characters. But I think it serves the Green Arrow to have him feel somewhat removed. To have him, to feel like he is out of his element. Because he is a dude with a lot of money and a lot of gadgets and a lot of know-how. But he is not Batman.
No.
He is not trained by Ra's al Ghul himself, right? Especially in the world that we've established now. It's like, if Al-Lawal, who trained Malcolm Merlyn, is that many levels ahead of of Green Arrow, of this Green Arrow, then Ra's al Ghul is like, there's no way that this, our current Green Arrow, maybe somewhere down the line when he becomes better
the actual
at
Green Arrow?
But I still don't think, I think that what they've established is that, like, that is a completely other tier of heroes.
It is,
And that that's okay. Like, that's
fine. But that world exists is sort of what we're setting up, right? This idea that there are these tiers of what
there's this other layer of superheroes out there that maybe we don't know about I feel like they are constantly moving towards this, that they're hinting at it, that this stuff with Amazo, with Dr. Ivo, we're heading towards a world with superheroes. We know that because we know that the Flash is coming, but I think that it's going to be a larger a much larger world, and every episode that goes by, I think we're getting closer and closer to that reveal that Man of Steel and Arrow are the same universe, and that these characters share a world, that it's all part of one thing, which is going to be incredible, because we've talked about S.H.I.E.L.D. and how S.H.I.E.L.D. is not quite living up to expectation, but how Arrow, week in and week out, defies expectation and just gets better and better, and it just blows people's minds how good it can be, and to the point where last season I said on several occasions, there's no way that they're going to be able to have these characters live in the same universe. And now I'm sitting here going, I want them
to live in the same. Here's hoping.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the next few weeks and see where things are going to go. I think we're going to probably cool it on the mythology stuff. And it'll probably end up being much more arc based for this season with Isabel Rochev and what's going on for Queen Consolidated and Oliver and Moira and
which is sort of what they usually do, right? They'll start off with mythology, go back into episode based, and
I like that we're going to take a break from it, because like you said, especially like with Black Canary, when she comes back, it's going to mean so much more. And I think that's what they thought was going to happen with Huntress. But Huntress just didn't quite pan out the way that I think they wanted it to.
Well, I could see, though, maybe Huntress coming back with Black Canary. That would be interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I think that at some point they would. I think that we'll see those two characters on screen together.
Which is awesome. They could definitely play off each other.
And who knows? Maybe they'll bring Batgirl into it. Maybe.
Or maybe Felicity will become... Will, like, just go and take over that clock tower?
She'll become... Just like Chloe became... essentially Oracle. Who knows? We'll see. We'll have to just wait and see how things are going.
Man, it is a good time to be a comic book nerd. I just want to say that it is... I don't know. It's great. I'm really excited by all of the mythos that exists, and just the ability to do it well and for it to be awesome. So yes. I'm very, very excited to live in this world right now.
Awesome. Well, I think that just about wraps it up for us. Yeah. So you can find us online. Our email is mail@quiverpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Somebody mentioned that it was hard to find our email. Mm-hmm. You got to listen all the way through to the end of the episode.
Yeah.
That's mail@quiverpodcast.com.
Yeah.
Quiverpodcast.com being our home on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Which basically is just our episodes. We should put some other stuff on our website, maybe. Maybe yeah, I'll start writing weekly.
We're working updates. On it. We're working on
it. It's good, like but it's good. I don't know. Quiverpodcast.com. And then you can also follow us on Twitter. We're pretty active on. I like Twitter, is where. Twitter and Facebook is mostly where we live.
I think that's the thing is that Facebook, especially our group, we would just be posting the news that they make us privy to. So,
yeah, exactly. So join the group. So it's we have a page. So we have Quiver Podcast. So facebook.com/Quiver Podcast. And that you can find the link to the group, which is more dialogue based and everybody, lots of really awesome conversations there. So Quiver Podcast, the group. And then obviously on Twitter, we're at Quiver Podcast. And you can also talk to me and Mike individually on Twitter. We're pretty active. So I'm at Akonkin, Akonkin.
And I'm at Arkwulf, Arkwulf.
Mm-hmm. You're also on Tumblr. We're not really.
I'm also on Tumblr. Again, arkwulf.tumblr.com. I mean, if you put in Arkwulf to a lot of things, you'll find my accounts. So.
Mainly Mike.
So that's it for this week. We will catch you guys next week.
Yay. Stay sharp, Arrowheads. Did you watch the Minnesota?
Yeah, they played it during the episode.
Yeah. No. I don't know what to think about it. It's like super...
I think it's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's genius that rather than take the money and put that in the episode like Smallville would have with Stride Gum, everybody get some Stride Gum. Let's all go listen to One Republic and chew some Stride Gum because it'll give you superpowers. Stride Gum by Yaris. That's like every episode of Smallville season 6 onward, right?
That's true.
But instead like they went, we'll take your money, but we're going to generate extra content that is very clearly a commercial, but also give you something
kind
of
cool.
A little bit of a bonus, right? So instead of another 15-second commercial, we get a 15-second, however long that was.
Yeah. It's awesome. It's cool. Felicity's great.
It was a little... The writing was a little less polished than we're used to on the show, but
how is Cora?
Season 2's been different. I don't know. It's not. It's taking a little while to get going. It's really unclear as to who's the bad guy and who's the good guys. And
isn't it all about politics though? So,
well, no. The first season was all about politics. This one is very different. There are definitely political aspects to it, but...
Get a mask, dude.
Relax. Relax. Did you see the picture that somebody posted on our Facebook? On the group?
No.
Oh, you didn't see it?
Oh, because if it comes from my email...
Has spotted a picture of Stephen Amell. Somebody got a picture of Stephen Amell.
With a mask on. Oh, sweet. That's awesome.
So, it's coming.
Cool.
It's already...
Right.
Being shot.
Oh, their vote. They're also People's Choice Awards. People could vote for that. How did S.H.I.E.L.D. get nominated for anything? I so can't even get through another episode of that show. Like,
I've only watched three episodes.
I watched the first three, and then I tried to watch the fourth one again. I got maybe 5 minutes in, and I was like, this is it's so awful.
It's not good.
No. But Thor is the best, and yeah. it's hilarious. Like, that's the thing I didn't expect.
That's what everybody's saying, is that it's unexpectedly hilarious.
It's like, hilarious. So, yeah. It's awesome.
It's so weird, because the movies seem to have just this great rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
That they're just like, it's just one after the other after the other. Yeah. And, like, the thing that's awesome about the movies is that so far no two movies have been the same.
Right? Yeah.
Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 have a somewhat similar mm-hmm. thing going on. But at the same time, like, that's sort of surface. Mm-hmm. When you explore it more, like, yeah. like, Iron Man 2, the great thing about that movie is that every time you watch it, it gets better. Which, like, if people came out of Iron Man 2 going like, oh, it's just Iron Man 1 again.
Yeah.
It's not very good. Sam Rockwell wasn't a good villain, and blah, blah, and all these things. And, oh, Whiplash was such a waste, and all these things. And then you go back and you watch the movie again, and you go, actually, Sam Rockwell's kind of genius in that.
Sam Rockwell's great.
Because he's Tony Stark without the things that make us love Tony Stark. And that's a very difficult thing, A, for Jon Favreau to find.
Yeah.
Is another actor that can go toe-to-toe with Robert Downey Jr. But one that's also willing to play... Essentially, like, Tony Stark is the most popular movie character of the last 10 years, I think.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that, if you go, like, did you like Iron Man? Or do you like Iron Man, the character? Like, you're hard-pressed to find somebody who, like, you know, I really can't stand Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man. He's so annoying, right? Like,
right.
So you take that, you get hire somebody to play that character, but as an unlikable version.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of guts, mm-hmm. and it takes a lot of skill to, like, ride that line of, like... Because it would have been very easy for Sam Rockwell, especially because he's Sam Rockwell, to just be... lovable, and to just be like, oh man, I love this guy, he's great, he's a villain that you love to hate. But instead it's like, no, you hate him so much, but it feels so good to hate him, which is different, right?
Yeah.
Like, there are bad guys that you watch and you're like, oh, that's such a great bad guy, like on Game of Thrones, right?
Oh,
like, Tywin, you respect him and you love the character, and you go, man, if it weren't for the fact that he keeps screwing over everyone I care about, I would love it. It would be his show. Like, it would the Lannisters would be great if it weren't for all of the incest and the backstabbing murderiness and just general douchebaggery, right?
General
like that's different from, like, Sam Rockwell's character. He goes, like, I hate that guy. Hate him so much, but it makes the movie enjoyable.
It's good. I don't know. I think that Marvel
has Chris Eccleston
doing their thing
right.
Good.
Is he really good?
He speaks like Dark Elvish for half the movie.
So he doesn't even speak English. It's just like,
there's like a part of it. Yeah, most of it is not even English. But then he does. I actually was surprised when he actually encounters an Asgardian and speaks English. I was like, oh. I thought you were just going to keep speaking Elvish, but no, you know English as well. But you totally, like, you couldn't tell that it was, if you didn't know it was Christopher Eccleston, and you, because you, if you have, like, no concept, that's the one thing I think that they do really well in Thor, is make their villains, like, so unrecognizable, because that, in the first one, what it was, Colm something, the, like,
French,
like, the, yeah, like, the Canadian, and you totally couldn't tell unless you, like, knew it was him. Same thing with Christopher Eccleston, how they did it, which was really
awesome. Which bodes well for Thanos. Eventually.
Yeah.
And probably Ultron in the next movie as well.
Yeah.
The next Avengers.
Yeah, that you can't really tell.
And all of the stuff that's coming in Guardians of the Galaxy. Because half of that cast is going to be hidden behind ridiculous makeup or a CG character.
Yeah.
Right? Because two of the characters, like, Chris Pratt will be recognizable as Chris Pratt. Except he'll take his shirt off and you'll be like, how did Chris Pratt get so ripped? Have you seen pictures of him?
No.
He started... Because... He was doing a thing, as far as I could tell, where he was trying to get to 300 pounds.
Okay.
Like, but, like, as a chunky, chubby guy, still maintaining some health. But, like, just to be, like, a huge guy for Parks and Rec, because it made his character right? To be fat and oafish and stupid and that sort of thing. So, like, there's pictures of him. You see, like, where he's, like, it's his race to 300, and he's, like, posting progress pics of, like, eating a ton of food and, like, getting fatter and just being, like, so happy with himself. And then they announce that he's going to play Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy, and all of a sudden you see this turn of, like, he's in jogging pants, and he's out for a run, and he's doing lifting weights and stuff. And then all of a sudden, it was, like, within a couple of months,
wow,
he was just, like, ripped. Just, like, totally, like, ridiculously muscular.
I love, like, it when actors can, like, understand. They're like, no, I'm doing this for my job. And it doesn't matter if it's up or down, right? Or, like, whatever it is. Yeah. It's just, like, you have dedication to, like, looking
but
the
part. He took that 300 and he just turned it all into muscle. Yeah. So, like, there are pictures of him from a few months ago that when he was... Well, I mean, I think they're still filming, possibly. Or they might have just wrapped filming. But there are pictures of him where he's just, like... like, ridiculous. Like, he looks like a superhero, right? The same as Henry Cavill. Not as much as Henry Cavill, because no one has matched that. Like, that guy took physique to a completely other place.
Yeah.
But as much as, like, Chris Evans and Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
And in the sense that, like, they look like superheroes, right? But, like, so he will look like Chris Pratt, but not like the Chris Pratt we're used to seeing for the last few years, which is why they've written him off of Parks and Rec as well. Like, they sort of wrote him to go off, and he's in London doing a thing, so that he's not on the show when he looks like a superhero.
Right.
But then the other characters... are, like, two of them are covered in green makeup, essentially.
Okay, well,
Drax and Gamora are both, like, aliens.
Right,
like, they look like humans, but they're green with body tattoos and ridiculous stuff. And then one character is a giant tree. Right? Like, a living tree. And that character is going to be voiced by Vin Diesel.
Oh, whoa.
And then the other one is an anthropomorphic alien raccoon with a penchant for blowing stuff up with machine guns. Voiced by Bradley Cooper.
Okay. What?
Right? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
What?
Like, it's ridiculous, but it's going to be so awesome because you look at Thor, and you look at, I'm sure, Thor 2, like, I'm sure I'll confirm that tomorrow. You look at Avengers, and you just go, okay, yeah, no, I trust them. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
What's the tag? No, I probably should be surprised. Do I want to be surprised? What comes after the credits at the very, very end?
Oh!
I want to be surprised on that.
Stay and watch. Okay. They actually have two.
But
the very last one, it's actually somewhat plot-based for that movie, and then a hilarious, like, the very last beat, hilarious. It was, like, the most, the like, best one. So they did just a good but
did they set up a new movie? Like, did they set up new characters?
You get a new character in one of them. In the one that's, like, not the very last thing. It's like
the one that's right after at the beginning of the
credits. The beginning of the credits, yeah. They did
like
actually.
They'll do it at the end of the movie and then they do their fancy credits and they do the scene and then they just go
and then they do the scroll thing. Yeah, exactly. That one, totally, like, my brain was like, what's going on? What's happening? What is it? What do you mean? Oh my god, I'm so excited. And the actor too, I think, is recognizable. So anyways, but yeah, it's good, definitely.
I'm surprised I haven't been spoiled on it.
I'm impressed that you haven't either. Oh, and you know who is surprisingly good in the movie? Zachary Levi. Because it took me until his second scene to go, wait, is that Zachary Levi?
It's because he's blonde.
Yeah,
and the mustache.
And the mustache, and the thing is, this is like this is what makes the movie so good, is that that character has a certain amount of gravitas to him, like all of the Asgardians do.
Yeah.
But then he's the funny one. Yeah. And in the sort of the wide shot where he's there, you're like, oh, they're sort of wisecracking a little bit. But then he gets his close-ups and you're like, oh, they cast a comedian in this role who can also play a character with gravitas, which is what makes it, right? It's like, I was so impressed with them to be able to do that, and he does such a good job, and he's not the kind of person I would think would be cast in Thor, like...
Yeah. No.
So,
they announced that, because that's a change, right?
Yeah.
Because
the guy
who plays Prince Charming on Once Upon a Time was original in the first movie.
Oh, no way!
Yeah. Which, again, would not know it. Yeah, wouldn't know it. Crazy. Like, until you've watched a lot of Once Upon a Time and then you go back and you watch Thor. I was watching Thor at some point. I can't remember why.
Yeah.
But I think it might have been with the kids at the youth group. And I was watching it and I looked and I was like, holy crap, that's what's his face off of Once Upon a Time. And I put it together, but he's in very little of the movie.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So the fact that they replaced him with Zach Levi, he gets more screen time in this one.
He does, yeah. As much as the other Warriors.
Yeah, like that's, they're more important in this one than they were in
the
last one.
Yeah, they become a little bit more important.
As much as they were awesome in the last one. Yeah. They really, that, like, that's one of those things that whenever I'm watching that movie, I always forget about that at the end. That at the end, they show up, right? Like, they come and they rescue him, but they don't end up doing anything. Yeah, they just show up for comedic relief.
Yeah.
And to look awesome for 5 minutes. But, you see Jamie Alexander's dress at the premiere?
No.
You didn't see it?
No.
Holy crap. It was like, it's like just a simple black dress, but then there's a sheer part that was like this and like
all the way down the dress. Like, oh, all cool. the way
down the
oh,
dress cool. and on the back.
Oh, no way.
And she was not wearing underwear underneath. Like, I'm sure that somehow there was something to protect specific areas from being viewed by the public. But to the untrained eye, it looks like she's just wearing this piece of fabric and then nothing else.
Cool.
And a pair of shoes, right? Like, it was ridiculous. She's campaigning for something.
She's
like,
great.
That's her, her going out and being like, yes, I am in Thor, and that's cool and everything, but either make a movie about my character or cast me in something, because look at me, I will sell movies.
Well, you know what's awesome? I wish that you had watched it, because I want to talk about female characters in it. Anyways, I'd be interested. I'm just, like, really impressed with them. This isn't, I mean, you know what Jane Foster's character is, right? She's a scientist. She's not a fighter. And I loved in the movie, they didn't try to make her something she's not. They don't put a sword in her hand and be like, defend yourself. It's like, no, that's not her character.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make sense. Yeah. And they make up for it by having awesome other females that you're like, I'm completely fine with. She's not a Valkyrie, right? Let the Valkyries fight. Like, they're the ones that fight, and they do a really good job of it. Jane Foster, no, she's a scientist. And anyways, overall, thumbs up.
Okay.
Thumbs up.
Well, we can talk about it on Wednesday.
We will. Because we'll talk, it's tomorrow. Wendy's.